following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is it, Gio?
It's Geico easy.
It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for April 4th, 2020. The show where we highlight some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show over 11 years of podcasting. But first, I want to remind you, whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to Geico.com today. All right, my name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
We're still doing it.
I know. Well, we've always done this show kind of remote, quarantined.
This show is basically apocalypse proof.
Yeah, we've already figured it out beforehand, and now everybody's just copying us.
All right, it's kind of true.
Let's get going with some clips. First one, Colin Hanks, a great actor in his own right. I always love him in everything he's in, and he even did that Tower Records documentary.
And that's when he came in to promote back in 2015. We played this full interview before. This is a listener request. It's from Kari S. or Kari S. I think it's Kari. Our biggest fan from Iceland. Asking about the part of the episode where Colin talked about him and his dad watching football together and kind of trying to judge what kind of stepfather the various head coaches would be. So I included that chunk plus a little more that we didn't include last time. This is episode 1678, Colin Hanks, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. It's from October 2015. And now this has been coming up a lot on the show lately. Adam's been talking about Tom Hanks and the relationship to his kids. And I think it was you or maybe Bald Brian. Somebody dropped a little tidbit about asking not to have something brought up on air.
Yeah. Yeah, Colin requested not to have any questions about his brother.
Chet Hayes. And from what I understand in all other interviews, he's always said positive things about the guy. But he's a white rapper who had an affinity for still using the N-word deep into the 2010s. So that may have been the reason, like, hey, I don't want to answer for this other guy who's my brother. It didn't seem like it was any animosity. Every other time he's discussed him, he seems to like the dude. Colin is the son of Tom and his first wife. And this is, Adam keeps bringing this up, like, all the past 2 weeks. Like, what, maybe he had a kid with him. How come this one kid's this way, one kid's that way? And then he's like, I'll bet you that if Tom stayed with Rita for all these years, that he was right in the divorce. And he doesn't remember when Colin came on, he confirmed all that. He told him, yeah, my mom and my dad were not best suited for each other. My mom did this other thing, and I love Rita, and I love this family. And basically all the stuff Adam's been talking about, he was already told by Colin in person. And it goes a little something like this.
Colin Hanks in studio. Good to see you, Colin.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Really enjoyed the documentary. All Things Must Pass, like George Harrison. In theaters, October 16th. That is coming up this Friday, right?
Yes.
Limited release. Website, towerrecordsmovie.com. Very interesting. The first thing that struck me about the movie, very well done. Lots of cool names in it. Bruce Springsteen and Dave Grohl and guys like that. First thing that struck me about Tower Records, I was like, oh, Tower Records, that's my. Everybody thought their Tower Records was the only Tower Records.
Yeah,
it's good for record stores. It's good for girlfriends. It's good for everything.
Yeah, she's mine first. I had her. She's mine.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Like, did you feel that way? Did you grow up with Tower?
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up in Sacramento, which is where Tower was originated from.
Oh, you did?
So I went to the first, ostensibly the first two Tower Records growing up as a kid. And you know, my godmother worked there, not when I was a kid, but before. So I always sort of knew that Tower was like the best thing to come out of Sacramento. And then as I moved out of town and, you know, moved down here to LA and started traveling a whole lot more, I would see, you know, Towers all over the world, essentially. And that was sort of always like this little, like, beacon of like, oh yeah, Sacramento, that we made those. Those are ours. But then as I would, you know, come down to LA, people would be like, oh, well, if, you know, you got to go to the original one. It's up on Sunset. I'm like, no, right. that one's not the first. But it was like that everywhere. The New York people thought theirs was the first. San Francisco people thought theirs was the first. LA thought theirs was the first.
Elton John was in this thing. It was a couple of things. First off, I've always said that the internet has brought us together and pulled us apart simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everyone goes, oh, the internet's so great because it creates a community. So if there's something that you like food, Brian, you mm-hmm. can go on the internet. Mm-hmm. You can interface with other people that like food that aren't even in your town. Yeah, but it also got rid of the Tower Records where people would just walk through the aisles
community.
And bump into each other and go, what are you listening to and what are you digging? And what an environment.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was one of the things that we wanted to sort of address in the movie is that, you know, the thing that I think made – there were a lot of things that made Tower a special place, but there was this social element to it. It was a hangout. It was your favorite bar. It was your favorite cafe. It was a place where you could go and hang out. You didn't have to spend any money. Right. You could sit there and meet as many different people as you want. You weren't ever going to get kicked out unless you did something really, really bad. It was a meeting place. And you could meet there for as long as you want or as briefly as you want. But it was a place to go to where you could find like-minded people.
And you forget, I mean, you see all these businesses come and go, but you forget that it's going to sound super corny and trite, but the people, those are people. They're not just brick and mortar. But this place was a family. Yeah. Like, this place had a patriarch and family. I mean, people were just there for 30 years. Like, it wasn't one of these companies that just sort of rolled over all the time.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that has been a really pleasant experience now that people are starting to see the film, is everyone just sort of thought it was going to be just this numbers documentary or history documentary that's just about a store or a gigantic, huge chain that, of course, went out of business because the internet killed it. And really what the film is really about is this guy, Russ Solomon, who was the founder, and this sort of misfit family that he was able to bring together that ended up working at this company for 30 years, you know, 40 years, a huge chunk of their lives. And they fought with each other. They played with each other. They married each other. They divorced each other. Like, they were a very tight-knit group of people, and then they all had to fire each other at the end, and they all lost their jobs. And so it's a very human story. It's not necessarily about this gigantic chain. It's about these people that made something incredibly unique. And it wasn't, you know, at the end of it, there were 192 stores around the world. Like, it was a big company. There's no doubt about it. But it was run like a mom-and-pop record store. It, you know, a lot of people were on drugs. A lot of people were drinking. A lot of people had a good time, but it was not a smooth, well-run operation in a lot of respects. You know, it was run in a very different manner.
It was crazy to see these guys being interviewed now, 2014 or 15, 6-year-old dudes tearing up as they're talking about, you know, the day they got fired or whatever it was. Like, it was so emotional for those people because of the whole sort of family element. So for you, is there more documentaries, and why? I know there's a Sacramento connection.
Yeah.
But is anything else? You want to do one about the Kings, or is there something else in Sacramento you want to write about the state building?
Well, I mean, I don't know. To be honest, this all came about because I was living in New York at the time, and I was just kind of frustrated with the acting thing. It wasn't really going as I was wanting it to go, and I just sort of needed an outlet. And all my friends are all writers, but I don't have the mental capacity to sit down for any amount of time and write something. I have a hard enough time writing an email, much less a sketch or a script or anything like that. So I just sort of did this just because it seemed like a fun, interesting, different thing to do. And since my partner and I started making this 7 years ago, we've done a bunch of short docs. We did a 30 for 30 short doc about this mascot. Mascot that the Giants had in 1984.
The Crazy Crab.
That was great. Thank you, man. And we've done a couple of other ones. We produced some for 538, which is Nate Silver's website that ESPN also sort of runs. So we've been doing more, and I want to be able to do another one. But this one, I mean, we are in the tail end of finally kicking this little baby out of, you know, the house and sending it off to college, and I can't really focus on anything else until this is done.
Has it been 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years since the idea, yeah.
Does it, once in a while somebody will say, well, what's the difference between the documentary and doing just a feature, you know, small little indie stuff that I do? And I said, well, the documentaries you can put down for a couple of months or you can step away from them and go do something and then go pick them up again and start working on them again.
Yeah.
The independent stuff, like the Hammer, Roadhard stuff, it's like clay. It's like you got to keep it on the wheel. You got to keep it wet. You got to keep it moving. And you have 3 weeks or 21 days or 19 days or whatever it is. And then it dries and it's done. This, like, will still be moist when you pick it up again. So it's like when somebody says, I made a doc over 7 years, some people say 11 years, it's spread out. It's not nonstop.
It's not nonstop. And the other thing I would say is if you're to use your analogy, if you're doing like a small narrative independent movie, you have to know exactly what it is going to be.
Right.
Whereas with the doc, we really, you know, over the course of the years, we were really able to find out what the story was that we were actually going to tell. Do you know what I mean?
And sure.
Even that first initial meeting with Russ, you know, he was very adamant that he didn't want it to be his life story, that he wanted it to be the story of, you know, these other people that he insisted we go speak to. And so what started as a very sort of, you know, retrospective idea or concept of, you know, here's what Tower did and here's why it's special and here's why it's unique, it ended up sort of becoming something else and really sort of becoming its own thing. And so it's like a friend of mine said, like, building making a documentary is kind of like building a house where all of your lumber is already on fire and you're just having to, you know,
chase
you're
basically it
around. Yeah, you're just making it up as you kind of go, and you hope the foundation is strong enough that you're able to, you know, finish building the house.
My mom told me that about the carport when I suggested for the 33rd fucking time. Instead, her car was on fire her entire life. Well, also, you don't know, so I did this one called Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, available as we speak. And John Lasseter from Pixar wanted to be involved. And we were like, we're done. You know, like, we talked to Paul's brother. We talked to Robert Redford. We talked to everybody.
Yeah.
And we're done, John.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, nah, I really want to be a part of this. And we're like, well, we're not going to fly you out and, you know, and blah, blah. And he was like, and makeup person and lighting person and crew, and we're pretty much topped off here. And then he was like, well, I'll fly you guys out to Pixar, Emeryville, and I'll do the makeup. I'll do it in my office and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, all right, well, we're not going to say no to that if you're going to provide the lighting guy and stuff like that. And then, and then when I watch the movie, I'm like, oh, it's one of the best parts of the movie, just having him on there. So you never know. Now, I mean, you make a scripted movie, you know.
Yeah.
It would have his part in it. But you never know that there must have been people, as you start peeling the onion, you go, oh, who's this person?
Yeah. Well, you know, you always try and have a good sort of roadmap of where you want to go. Obviously, you know, for example, Dave Grohl, you know, since we started making this documentary, he's made arguably one of the best documentary series around in Sonic Highways.
Yeah.
And then he's also...
Took him 4 months.
Yeah, it took him 4 months.
Wow.
Well, he's...
With a broken leg.
He's able to do it. He's able to do it. He likes...
One bad wheel in 4 months, and there he goes.
He drinks a whole lot more coffee than I do. But I knew... Okay, well, Dave, I knew that he worked in one of the stores, and I had heard... stories through mutual friends about, you know, his time working at Tower. So I said, okay, well, I definitely want to interview him because that's an interesting perspective. I went into this going, I don't want famous people in the first 3 minutes telling me why this documentary is important. Mm. I'm making the documentary. I know it's important. So I don't want to do that sort of thing that a lot of documentaries have a tendency to do.
How does one run down Elton John?
That one was probably the hardest one because there was no there was no like 6 degrees Kevin Bacon connection that I could sort of work out. So
did you just tweet him?
I didn't tweet him. I was able to get Stone songs by tweeting. That's a totally different story.
Oh, wow.
But with Elton, it was a request. I called my agency. I said, I'm making this documentary. I need Elton John because I have this great story, and I'd really love to be able to get his perspective on it, and I have this great footage. So if this is the definitive Tower Records documentary, I know he's a big fan. I think he would want to be a part of this. And so that started probably about a 4 month process of being able to get to his publicist and working out dates and travel and all that sort of stuff.
You could have just gone down to the West LA Lens Crafters because he's there pretty much 24/7.
It's where he buys all of his tinted glasses, right?
We're going to keep that in the final edit. Don't give that secret away, man.
So, and how did you get lots of great music in it and hard to clear?
Very
music.
Hard to clear.
So, and how did you the tweet that, the
it was
Stones
hard.
Work?
Okay, so the tweeting the Stones was difficult. So I was very adamant that I wanted to be able to put a lot of music in that wasn't necessarily the most popular music in the world, but would definitely give you a feeling of the era that we were in, and more importantly, the aisle of the Tower Records that you were in at that time. And a lot of the music we had to clear in a very, very short amount of time. The first one we went to was Olivia Harrison to get her permission and blessing to be able to use both the title and the song itself, which plays at the end of the film.
So it's George Harrison's
widow. George Harrison's widow, yeah, right. Olivia. So she gave the okay, and once we had that, everyone else kind of falled into place. And we've got the Beach Boys, we got Steve Miller Band, we have a lot of really, really great music. The Stones was the hardest one to clear, though. Their publisher pretty much just said no. I sent out a tweet, a joke tweet. It was a joke. It was basically me venting because I wasn't going to get this one section of the – it was like a four-minute music cue. It was arguably the most important music cue of the film. And I sent out this joke tweet saying if anyone is with Keith, Mick, Ron, or Charlie, have them DM me because I lost their AOL address. That was a joke, arguably not a very good one. And luckily, there is a very nice man by the name of Brett who directed the Kurt Cobain documentary
Brett
out right
Morgan.
Now.
Yeah,
Brett Morgan, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really great guy. I had actually befriended him on Twitter years ago about the ESPN doc that he did about June, I think it's 17th, 1994.
About OJ. Yeah,
about OJ and all that stuff. Amazing film.
Yeah, that used no narrative.
No narrative. And an amazing documentary. He's a very talented filmmaker. And he just started texting me saying, here's who you should talk to. Here's this person. Here's this person. And he gave me about four or five different people. Long story short, about maybe 15 hours before we were supposed to lock our sound edit, I was able to get a reply from the lawyers of the Rolling Stones saying, Mick says go for it, you're all good.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. That story is an actual like 45-minute tale.
That's the next documentary.
Clearing the music for the previous documentary.
Yeah. It's just called Tweeting the Stones.
Yeah. The thing I think people are missing out on now, kids today, in the documentary, you know, there's this sort of part where, you know, Napster comes in and all this kind of stuff. And they have to do this part where people say, look, it's in the documentary. They say, look, why do I have to buy Britney Spears' entire album when I just want to hear the one song? And I think that's the prevailing wisdom of today. But you are depriving yourself and not of Britney Spears. That one I'll give you a pass on. But I was thinking, so many songs that I've been exposed to were because, like, I remember Police came out the album and Roxanne was the song that they were playing.
Yeah.
Brian, you're so good.
Like I'm somehow clairvoyant.
So this is and I remember like, oh no, I like this song. And so I didn't buy the song individually because I couldn't go on the computer and just download the one song from iTunes. Yeah. I had to go buy the album. And then I listen to the album and I hear So Lonely. And then I realize I like this song. I like So Lonely a lot better than Roxanne. Yeah. But I don't think I would have been exposed to it. I mean, it got limited airplay out here. Roxanne was crushing it. But I wouldn't have gone out, and I can say that with The Pretenders, and I can say that with John Hyatt, everything John Hyatt, and Graham Parker and stuff like that. I wouldn't have gone and been exposed to the other stuff. So you're going like, well, I didn't pay for So Lonely. I know. Good.
Because you got the album.
You got the album. We just got to listen until it kicks in because I fucking love this song. Must have spoken to me as he lay as well. And we can all think of those. We can all think of those songs. You'd have a crazy visceral reaction if you heard those deep cuts on those albums that you got that they were like, oh yeah, I forgot about this song because I bought it for this reason and then I turned out liking this song. But part of that is like ownership. Like you feel like on some of those deeper cuts, like I've discovered
it's
this
your
one.
Little secret.
This wasn't K-Rock.
Yeah.
Tell me about this one. All right. So again, All Things Must Pass. It is a really good documentary and it's also just it just covers so much of our history.
Yeah.
It's about music, but it's just really sort of a metaphor for history and time passing and change and all that. So you can go to the website towerrecordsmovie.com and then you can find out like where it is, when it is.
It'll be doing a theatrical run for a couple of months and then it'll eventually find its way to the other avenues in which things are consumed now.
Now, how's it work? Has Pops and Rita seen it? Are they giving you a thumbs up?
Yeah, they're giving me the thumbs up. I showed them the movie at sort of a rough cut stage, and they gave me some notes, some suggestions. They were part of the tribunal that I inflicted upon myself to make a tight little movie. They really loved it. The weird thing is that his new movie opens the same day as mine.
A little friendly competition.
A little friendly competition. You know, we're
spies
in
on the bridge?
Bridge spies. Bridge of spies. Spy bridge, I like to call it.
That's the Austrian translation. Bridge. Spies on the bridge.
Spies on the bridge. Spies on the bridge.
I knew the two nouns.
Spies on the bridge is the B-side remix.
The deep cut.
Yeah, the deep cut. But yeah, no, they were very supportive of the film.
I also heard he's coming up Captain Sully.
Yeah.
But this is the early years before it doesn't involve the plane.
Oh, okay.
No.
Interesting angle.
Taking tests.
This
taking
is
written
him
tests.
From his junior year in high school all the way to the first. It ends the first day of flight school.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the story they want to tell.
Get in a simulator and roll credits.
Yeah. No, Mark Wahlberg did The Fighter. And
Didn't bother with Arturo Gatti.
Did not bother with the trilogy with Gatti. And it was an interesting, great film.
That's right.
This the same thing with Sully.
All right.
It's the early years.
You know what made The Fighter great? We're going to do that.
You're a great bitch. All right. So I know where you live. Are you out? Are
I'm
you out here? You're back
yeah,
in
I'm back
New
in
York?
LA now. Yeah, back in LA.
Shall we? We'll do a little news and Colin hang out, crack wise, and let's get it done.
Give the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gino Grad. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Paris train attack hero Spencer Stone is out of surgery and expected to make a full recovery after he was stabbed multiple times early Thursday morning in Sacramento.
Next.
Whoa!
Never you Thursday, Colin.
Whoa!
So Stone, who was one of the three U.S. National Guardsmen who tackled a terrorist on a train in August, he was stabbed three times in the torso by an unnamed attacker while he was out for the night just hanging out with friends out at the bars. Police are looking for the attacker and say they don't believe it to be a hate crime or related to the terrorist attack. He got stabbed outside a bar last week.
So he does the thing, and he's also supposed to be going to the community college that got all shot up with the 10 fatalities.
Morgan.
That was his. He was supposed to be there. Wasn't that guy? Is it the same dude? He was doing Dance with the Stars? Oh, my God.
No, that's the other one.
That's the other one?
Right, Gary?
Oh, we got to figure this one out. The internet's down now. I thought I heard that was him, and that was him.
It
might be
that.
The trifecta. Well, if nobody heard that, than me, then I am wrong and apologize, or your asses are fired.
Different guy? Different guy. The guy who who's on Dancing with the Stars is named Alex Skarlatos.
But he is one of the train guys. Right.
But
all
a
right,
different
so
one.
He was supposed to be
go back to the Oregon thing the day that it happened.
All right, there were three guys. Uh-huh. So the third guy, he's got to be walking around. I've seen enough of those movies.
Yeah.
He's covered in bubble wrap right now.
Things happen in threes. Yeah. Something is going to go down.
You're the third dude. The first dude.
This is a Final Destination situation.
Yes. The entire school gets shot up that you were supposed to be there. The other guy gets stabbed in the bar. Now, what's next?
Yeah.
Probably not a probably stay off the quad runner for just a couple of months. I would say start with that.
We were going hang gliding today.
Let's chillax and watch get caught up on the NFL.
So up on your screen, the guy on the right's on Dancing with the Stars. The guy on the left is the one we're talking about in this story.
And the brother in the middle.
So the guy on the left that had injured his arm.
I think he injured his arm in the attack.
In the attack, right.
And then he was stabbed outside of this bar.
And his other arm is obviously injured as well.
And it's one of these things where you go, wow, what a crazy coincidence. But there is, you could probably deconstruct this a little and realize the same guy who charges the dude in the train is the same dude who probably doesn't back off at the bar when some guy
probably not
his girlfriend's pussy stunk. Probably not.
That guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's quick for the fight.
Yeah.
Being a Sacramento kid, I'm instantly intrigued, like, what part of Sacramento... Like, what part of Sacramento was this? Was this Midtown? Because that's a little... It's gotten a little cooler. It's gotten a lot cooler, a lot hipper. But if it's, you know, like Sacramento, like Rancho Cordova, that's, you know, maybe a little different.
Across the tracks.
Yeah, maybe a little different.
Okay.
Who knows? I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. Stay away from towns that sound like salad dressing. It's always bad. I went to Zesty Italian. I'll go with the Rancho Cordova.
Good.
And kind of a little on the side because I like to dip my onion rings in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds kind of delicious.
All right. Yeah. Sacramento's got a lot of range.
Yeah. So hopefully Anthony Sadler, who's the third guy, hopefully he'll be all right. Stay out of the news. Well, Gawker reported that Shia LaBeouf was arrested and booked for misdemeanor public intoxication in Austin, Texas over the weekend. Witnesses told TMZ that an angry and heavily impaired LaBeouf ran down the street after being denied entry to a bar, jaywalking in front of police who asked him to stop, and when he did not, put him in cuffs. For jaywalking? Austin police said that LaBeouf was arrested after he allegedly attempted to cross against a don't walk sign.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Get you for anything down there.
All right. Number. Okay.
There's so much about that I call bullshit on.
Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest. It's during Austin City Limits, right? Mm-hmm. It's so many drunk people on 6th Street in Austin, Texas.
Right.
So many people jaywalking.
Yeah.
They were looking for him.
The one thing with cops, whatever it is they fucking yell at you to do, just do it.
Just do it.
Because...
That's true. That is true.
The one thing I do know about cops is they really... There's like one perk for being a cop. You get to yell at people to do shit and they just do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your only perk. Other than that, folks hate you. You get shot at. You have no time for backup. You're going into the warehouse. It's a bummer gig. You're going in on these domestic things. You see the kids crying in the corner, and dad's holding a steak knife and threatening mama, and all. It's a bummer gig.
No shorts either. In this hot weather. Yeah. The cops are all wearing pants out there.
Yeah, cotton poly blend.
The only guys who get the shorts are the guys who don't need them, and those are the guys working the beach route, like in Huntington Beach on the mountain bikes.
It's 20 degrees cooler.
They got a nice ocean breeze going. All right, so it's a bummer gig, but the great news is when you're a cop, it doesn't matter if a doctor or lawyer or Tom Hanks is walking down the sidewalk, you just get to yell, "Hey, stop."
Yep.
"Hey, get on your knees and lay on your face. Put your index finger up your ass. Mm-hmm. I'll let you lick it first." I'm not a cruel man.
Right.
Don't run, Forrest.
And you get to do You have to do what they tell you to fucking do. And that's the only fucking perk to being a cop. And they know it. And the surest way to get fucked with by a cop is just don't do whatever it is. It's either get out of the car, and stop and lay down, and you just keep walking toward them, or you're not putting your hands up on your thing or down on the whatever or reaching for the – just do whatever the fuck they do. I would like – I know there's – I know Black Lives Matter and all that kind of stuff. Believe you me. Here's what I would like. I don't agree with the cops are yelling at you to do a bunch of shit you don't want to do, but it's not a significant part of your life. And if it is, maybe it's time to move.
Reevaluate.
Even reevaluate.
Get out of the bad part of Sacramento.
It's not going to take up, well, it shouldn't take up more than 1% of your life. Oh. But here's what I'm saying. I would like to try 1 year, like when they do those, even a day. How about a day? Like when they have those smoke outs?
Okay.
You know, like great American smokes. Like one day, nobody's going to smoke cigarettes. Which I think smokers just go, oh, more cigarettes for me.
I was going to say, double down.
But either way, one day where you just did whatever the fuck the cops told you to do.
Yeah.
And I think we would cut down on a lot of innocent folk getting shot, beat, or Shia LaBeouf would be on set today, sober and working on Transformers 9.
Well,
Oh.
Well, apparently he was fucking around in the street. They told him to stop repeatedly, get out of the street. And they said, all right, fine. We'll take you up on jaywalking. It was one of those things where they kept saying, get out of the street, get out of the street. He wasn't going to listen.
Also, the people treat, especially when they get drunk, like they treat the cops like there's door number one. Mm-hmm. And that's Jay on the steamroller or on the donkey. And then door number two is a trip to Maui. This is... Door number one and door number two are both you going to a fucking place where there's vomit on the floor in the back of a car with zip ties. That's one and two. So I don't even know – there is no reason to ever talk to Monty Hall about what's behind one and two.
Head
the cop
bets.
Just yells, get out of the street. Yeah. Just get the fuck out of the street.
Just
because there's no – there's like – that. It's not – I understand the part where you go, well, yeah, but if I don't listen to him, I get to hang out in the middle of a busy street. Yeah. Like there is no – good
upside.
Part of that. I understand the part where you rob the liquor store because that is, well, there's a bunch of money in that cash register and I could get shot or I could get arrested, but I could also have $600.
Mm-hmm.
Once the cop is there, whatever he yells, just do it because now we've erased the part where you could get behind what's behind door number three or in the box.
It's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
God, how shitty was my childhood that I would just sit and watch Let's Make a Deal, and they'd be like, door number one, door number two, or Jay's got a box. And I'd be like nine screaming at the black and white, go for the box! Go for the box!
How often did the box have a good thing in it? I never saw
the show. Was it ever not turtle wax?
There, you get a lifetime supply of turtle wax, which is they just take a playing card and dip it into turtle wax and hand you the playing card. That's enough.
That's all you need.
Turtle wax
for the rest of your life.
For your fucking Chevette for the rest of your life. But yeah, a lifetime supply of turtle wax is one container of turtle wax. No one's ever got to the bottom of a thing. It's like rolling papers. No one's ever pulled out the last one.
Add it to the list, honey. More them. Turtle wax.
So, you could get Zebric. Zebric is fake plastic brick veneer that you put up with a staple gun.
Ew.
God. Oh, like to make it look as though from a distance there's a brick wall.
You know, when you walk in your den and you go, why doesn't this look like Hitler's bunker? How come?
Did the Hanks house have a lot of Z-brick in it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I had a feeling.
They probably had A-brick, the good stuff. Z-brick. So I'd be yelling.
We had A-brick is what it was.
Literally.
It was just one brick just over in the corner.
I would always yell at the TV set. And then here's how you know I was a total fucking loser. Yeah, that's we got a picture of Zebric.
You
at least put it up with a staple gun. It comes in sheets. How I knew I was a loser is when the guy would go for door number three and Jay would be sitting on a steamroller, or sometimes he'd be standing next to a donkey or something, and they'd play the boom, boom. I would go, do you get to keep the steamroller? Because I know it looks obviously
the
it's used,
value
but there's
got to
be something. Yeah. We could sell that in the recycler and make some money. Or that donkey's got to have. Yeah. Can you milk a donkey? Yeah. I remember thinking that even the bummer gift was something.
Something nice.
All right. Where were we?
Well, turns out there may be an unintentional little trick to Burger King's new Halloween treat. Have you guys seen, we talked about this last week, the black bun Whopper, the Halloween Whopper. And they say that A1 baked into the bun, that's great. But apparently it's turning everyone's crap green.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little extra bang for your buck out of that. It's causing some people to freak out. They're posting the pictures online. So there's a whole online forum now where you can see what's
coming
out of people.
Gary, do not. I got to beat off.
Yeah. Can the internet break now?
Later.
Don't.
Okay.
Don't.
And then again the following morning at dawn. So we have a very hectic beat off schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gary? So I don't want any pictures of fecal matter.
Because
it's not going to stop me, but it's going to.
I will tell
add
you.
A few seconds.
Speed bumps.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that that the morning show, the Mark in the Morning, all the guys tried this and then they all reported the next day. And apparently it is quite green and a lot of fun if that's something you're into. Now, there is a Halloween costume that Gary wants to put on the screen that I think will also make your day.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. I'm up there with my Beats by Ace, where you get the purple bracelet when you eat the beets at the restaurant, and then you take a shit that next morning and you think you're dying.
Right.
I think this thing could really catch on, which is you get the bracelet that reminds you you don't look down and think you're dying. They should give you
a
bracelet.
A good idea.
When you get the burger, would be the green burger, the black burger that lets you know the Duke's, because it will. Because you eat dinner and then you have a cocktail and then you go home and then you watch a movie and then you go to bed and then you get up the next morning, have a cup of coffee.
Right.
It's all washed out of your brain. But you do examine your handiwork and there is that fleeting moment where you're like, oh my God, I'm dying, or oh my God, I ate a Christmas tree when I was drunk, or whatever it is. And then you have to go back and do this deconstruction.
Right.
Oh, beet salad. Or, went to Burger King and I'll give a little bracelet out.
Yeah, a little reminder.
They're getting a ton of mileage out of this.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
They must know it, right?
Yeah,
have known it in advance, right?
When I was in Japan about a year ago, they had these burgers in Japan years ago.
They had Squid Ink. It was Squid Ink and Ash.
Okay, yeah. So they know.
They're so hardcore over there.
They know. They know. So they know that how this works out.
Well,
there's a tower is still flourishing in Japan.
Yeah. Is that true?
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
That's why we were there. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's why we were there.
Well,
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
It just wets your whistle.
But no,
to see
I guarantee you when they had the proposal for American, what is this, Burger King?
Yeah.
When they, American Burger King, it's like, okay, so here's the deal. We want to do this very successful thing we did in Japan as it was a black dyed burger. So, I don't know, maybe release it Halloween. Okay, great. Now, we're just going to warn you right now, about a week after we release this,
right,
the shit twit pics are going to start coming in. So that was accounted for early on, I'm sure. They said in Japan when we did this, the shit pics started coming a week afterwards. So that was built into the business plan.
Well, if we combine this with my anus template, star shapes.
Yeah,
and
the extruder.
The high for the Jewish folk and Star David and things like that. Yeah, the extruder, the hand and blame. This would be quite a bowl. I should get together with those guys. Where's the bracelet? Where's the where's the template extruder? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, they were way more hardcore because they had black cheese and black ketchup, and I don't think the American
also
community
ash
was ready
and
for that.
Squid ink.
Yeah.
We're such pussies with our A1.
Barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're saying it's A1. They say it's A1 barbecue sauce.
Mm.
Is it?
Mm, could be B2.
Could be B2. Could be C3.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation out there. That's why you need LifeLock. It's only one documented instance of an identity being returned, and that's my buddy Ray.
Yeah.
They actually gave him his identity back. He fought them on the porch of his apartment. He didn't want his identity back.
Is that game of hot potato with the identity?
They did that move where you go, look, where you go, you think like, listen, I'm going to pay for this lunch. And then the guy goes, I got it. I go, let me just pay for the lunch. I had three Heinekens. No. And you do that move where you go, I'm going to put $40 down on the table. And then the person goes, I'm not touching it. All right. That'll be your choice. By the way, I love these first world problems when you get in. I'm setting the money down.
On the table at Just Day?
I'm stuffing it into your pants like a strip club. I'm going to make it fucking rain in here.
I'm not touching it, so you can put it wherever you want.
Do what you want with it. I'm setting it down. Yeah, that's what they did with his
identity.
The guy had a thick Russian accent, so we couldn't really figure it out, but it ended up just sitting on his porch. That's the only time.
If you're not that identity, you need a LifeLock.
That's right. All right, what else we got?
Well, The Guardian reports that months after winning a national title, Harvard's debate team has fallen to a group of New York prison inmates. The showdown took place at the Eastern Correctional Facility in New York, which is a maximum security facility. Convicts can take courses taught by faculty from Bard College, and they invite inmates.
Oh, this is a fucking movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
This is a nice documentary.
Yep. They invite inmates and they formed a debate club, and they invite people over to challenge them.
To be fair, the inmates have an advantage, not only in height and size, but just yelling, "Fuck you, Whitey!" It's not...
I can see the point.
A lot of these guys get intimidated and back down.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The debate's as much a performance as anything.
But have you seen what debates are now?
Yes, and it's
how
upsetting.
How fast.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And quick these people talk and argue their points. I mean, it's like that dude who did the Micro Machines commercial.
Seriously.
Nice pull.
In debate competitions, you get points for like the number of words or the number of points you make. Oh, so really, your incentive is to just talk about you can make as many points as you can. 1876. Blah, blah, blah. Your job is to speak as fast as you
can. It is insane. It's insane.
It's not what you're thinking.
So you're saying the guy doesn't pop out his glass eye and yell, "Give me your fucking shoes."
No. Maybe in college is different, but in high school debate, the job is to get words out as fast as you can.
Yeah,
and not only that, but this looks like it was a Lincoln Douglas debate where you don't know what side you're going to be arguing until that moment when they tell you.
Different, than high school.
Yeah, well, that's what it sounds like this was. A 3-judge panel concluded that the Bard team had raised such strong arguments on the topic of not allowing undocumented students to enroll in public schools that they were declared the winners, the inmates, the Bard team.
All named Lincoln, by the way. Sadly.
The prison team has beaten teams from West Point and the University of Vermont as well.
Wow. University of Vermont. I picture those guys. All right. Now, you know, what was the guy... We're talking about a different guy. Remember the guy who used to do the Alaskan Airlines commercials with the world's fastest talker?
Was he the Micro Machines guy?
I think it was the same Micro Machines guy.
That dude was famous for talking fast for like a decade.
Right. Yeah, same dude. Did he do Alaskan Airlines commercials as well?
I don't remember that, but he is known to our generation as the Micro Machines guy.
Balding guy with the mustache.
Yep.
I'm sure we're thinking of the same guy. He's very famous.
Oh, there's only one
guy. He's the guy.
Yeah. I wonder what that guy does now. Is he dead?
I wonder if he's alive. He's probably 55-ish.
If only we had little computers that we could hold in our pocket.
In all of our pockets.
Tell us these things.
We'll find out. All right, let's wait. I'll show you the see. This is him doing what, Gary?
Micro Machines.
Oh, Micro Machines, yeah. Then we're
Micro Machine Man presenting the most midget miniature motorcade of Micro Machines. Each one has dramatic details, terrific trims, stupendous styling, precision paint jobs, working wheels, Micro Machine cars of vast variety, including Lamborghini, Trans Am, Corvette, 4x4, Blazer, pickup charger, and many more. Micro Machine planes, polished, perfect precision, like F-15, Corsair, Space Shuttle, P-51, Mustang, Micro Machine boats, a fabulous fleet of tugs, PTs, and speedboats. Talk about small! Micro Machines are less gargantuan than a grasshopper, as midget as a marvel, and smaller than a silver dollar.
Hey, Dad!
You want to get more Micro Machines to add to our collection?
Yeah!
A miniature midget colossal collection of Micro Machines.
That's
it. Collect them, trade them,
right, see if he did Alaskan Airlines or another airline.
I love that, though. Well. He's in a racing suit.
He's wearing a fire suit.
Yeah. He's got the mustache.
Yeah. I would assume he spent a lot of his career doing legal, like at the end of commercials.
It would speed it up to get the guy who talks fast.
Yeah.
He missed out on like the Cialis commercials by just
all
a few years.
Effects.
Yeah, he could have crushed the side effects for boner pills.
So like when he was trying to get a blowjob like later on, do you think he just have to take a hit off an ether rag and bring himself down
try to sweet talk somebody?
Yeah, it was a... So he did. Oh, he did Northwest Airlines. Continental Airlines. All right. Well, find Continental. Let's see if I have it. I picked the wrong airline. All right.
And that was Colin Hanks back in 2015, talking about watching football with Dad.
Imaginary stepdads.
That's right. All right, we got another.
I'm kind of jealous of that relationship. It seems very healthy that him and his stepmother and his dad and that family, and like you usually hear about some sort of drama and the first kid being like, "I was left out and they had all the money and I didn't have this." And he was a totally healthy attitude about all of it. And he's very similar to his dad, and his brothers don't have to be because of it.
I agree. Yeah, they seem like they're all in a very good place. And it's very apparent. All right. And thanks to Kari or Carrie for requesting that. If you want to request a clip, I'm talking to you, person listening to this show right now. Email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. You can tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. We're also on Facebook, Instagram. And let us know what you want to hear. If there's a particular moment in the span of the show's history that you remember and you want to hear again, we'll track it down. We'll find it. We'll play it right here.
This and next if you disagree and think you're the biggest fan in Iceland, you know what you need to do.
Yeah, there really can be. Battle is on. All right, this next request, this is from Danny, and he writes, "Hey guys, I'd like to hear the bit when Adam gets pulled over for driving in the diamond lane with a fake baby. Shit was funny as hell. Good day, fellas. Danny."
Now, we're only playing this one because Chris remembered Brad Williams was the guest. I felt like I was having a stroke or something was going wrong because I couldn't find any record of this, even though we played it twice. We played it in the first incarnation of Cruel Classics before it was a show when we just did it for Holiday Best Of. And there was no notes on that one. It was just like we were throwing this stuff together, get it done, and basically nothing helpful for Chris to read in the document. And then the second time we played it, it's like, oh, listener blue balls on this one. We never played the full clip. So here it is again, the second time in full, Adam Carolla Show 1523, featuring Brad Williams, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, March 2015. Funny improv reenactment of Adam driving the carpool lane when he claims to have a baby that he doesn't quite have. Check it out.
I had a buddy get busted for that. He had the baby seat in the back, but no baby. He used to use that for the HOV lane, and cop pulled him over one day. And, of course, my buddy kept a blanket over the baby seat. Pulled him over, and the cop's like, sir,
we're going to wake the baby. I can't take the blanket off.
This is a carpool lane. He's like, oh, the baby's in the back. He's like, can I see the baby? Just give me the ticket. That's well,
What about pregnant women who are very, very pregnant saying, I'm driving for two?
I'll let them do it.
No, that's two behind the wheel.
Be the cop. I'll tell you what your buddy should have done.
Okay. Sir, I notice you're driving in a high occupancy vehicle.
Yeah,
lane
I am.
And,
if you could keep it down.
Is there a child behind you?
Under the blanket.
Oh, okay.
SUV. I mean, I'm driving SUV, UV rays.
No, I understand. I actually do legally have to see the child. Can you mind just moving the blanket a tiny bit?
Well, I'd hate to wake little Cicely up, but I guess you got to do your job.
Yeah, I'm bound by it.
Well, she knows me, so if you don't mind, I'll just lift the blanket off. You take a look through the back window, and then we're kind of running late.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
I mean, you're doing your job, I understand.
Yeah,
let me just peel the blanket back just a little bit here. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Is there a dingo around here? Is there so? We were at the Costco in Van Nuys. She was strapped in three ways to fucking Sunday. Oh my God! Do that Amber thing. Do the Amber thing. Her name is Cicely. Don't worry about the last name. I had pretty bad divorce from a Mexican dude or an Arab dude. Either way, get on the blower. There's no time to waste.
Sir, I frankly find your story hard to believe.
No time to waste. What do they say in your parlance? Stat. Stat. Get that goddamn Amber going.
I believe that's a medical term.
All right, whatever. Then hurry. I want to see every electronic billboard on the sign with the same Cicely, by the way. Not with an S. With a C. You understand? She's about 2 foot nothing, and she can't survive long in the mouth of that dingo. Or was it the Mexican dad?
Sir, I'm going to need you to sign this ticket. It's not acknowledging.
Anything that'll speed this process up. Anything that'll get you, and then it'll get you to that squawk box faster, and it'll get that thing up on the mainframe there, because she is in the mouth of a Mexican. I mean, her dad is from, she may have gone back to Guadalajara on a dingo.
Right.
With a Middle Eastern guy in Sally Fields. Either way, let's get moving.
Well, that'll happen right away. I'm
speaking in this tone, but I am so shocked right now to realize that my little daughter, Sandy, is not under that blanket.
You said a different name earlier.
What?
Cicely, I believe, is the name.
Sir, I am in shock. And I am frankly shocked that you do not realize that this mother, I mean father, is in shock. I'm a single parent. Do you understand me?
You got your own gender mixed up.
Her mother perished in a horrible van fire in an HOV lane not 6 months ago. All right? Now we can stand here and we can chat.
You're still wearing the ring.
About where? Okay, I've you know what?
You grieve the way you want to grieve. I'll grieve the way I want to grieve. Yes, I've remarried. Some said it was a little soon. The point is this. There is nothing that's going to get little...
Sicily?
Oh, yeah, or Sandy. Okay, Sicily.
Sicily and or Sandy?
All right. She's not dingo in the mouth of that Mexican. He's hightailing it to what did I say, Guadalupe? Guadalajara?
Somewhere in Mexico, yeah.
Guadalajara something. He's not going to bring her back. But let's talking about it right here, right now. So I suggest you run. Uh-huh. Don't walk to okay. that squad car of yours. Right. And I'm going to grieve the best way I can. Not grieving. I'm searching for her by hustling to work right. down this HOV line.
Okay.
Okay?
Frankly, I can't go on like this any longer. So you may get something in the mail in a few weeks that says
I hope
we're traveling.
It's an edible arrangeable with a great apologies in your name on the top of it.
All my right, name will be on the top of it, I tell you
what's
that
your badge number?
Good day.
Well, thank hello. You. Well done.
That's what they should have
Adam
done.
Adam did all the hard work.
Thank yeah. you.
A little Sandy in Guadalupe.
And that was Brad Williams doing some improv back in 2015 with Adam and the gang. Adam trying to get out of a ticket.
The only way I found that, Danny, was because of Chris. I was literally sitting here going, what's going wrong? I can't find this. It's only be 3 clips this week. And then Chris is like, I think Brad Williams was a guest. And it's like, oh, there it is.
Too kind.
It took me like 5 seconds. I just had to type Brad Williams. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, I got you, man. And you know what else is too kind? Tommy John. Oh, yeah, everybody's staying at home. You need to be comfortable in your loungewear, your underwear. And just, it's the softest fabric. You need to try this stuff on right now. So treat yourself and upgrade to a few pairs of Tommy John underwear in the softest, most breathable fabrics you've ever worn. Right, Gio?
Oh, absolutely. Throw out all your old stuff, order enough for a week worth of underwear, and then order another week as soon as you receive it and realize how top-notch quality it is. It's the best stuff you can wear. If you don't think there's any difference in underwear, you're wrong. Try Tommy John.
That's right. So hurry to TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. Support yourself, support this show, and enjoy, because it's the
20%
best.
20% off.
Yeah, if you're going to be hanging around gotcha. At home, might as well be extra, extra comfortable. All right, we got another clip for you. This is from 2014, and we all know Adam doesn't particularly care for baseball. And
yeah, and some of the adaptations of the players, including sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
This is a great opening from a random episode. It's 1444, Arnaz J, Def Rat Guy, Alison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's the opening of the show. Adam goes off on Major League Baseball and other things they may want to eat in the dugout that might not be appropriate. And then we get some Def Rat Guy, JV All Balls JV, classic. October 2014.
Speaking of last night, World Series, 7th game.
Glorious.
I was feeling pretty good about my son, who wanted to watch replays of the NFL week that happened prior
wow.
to this. And I said, it's the 7th.
Oh, you want to watch it over the World Series?
I said, 7th game of the World Series. And he was like, yeah, but baseball blows.
Did he work the move the needle comment again?
No. He worked the baseball's boring and it sucks. And I said, absolutely correct. So, you know, this is a correct answer. But this is the 7th inning or the 7th game. And this is, ironically, was about the 7th inning. And it's a 1-run game. Yeah. And we should definitely hang out for the next 25 minutes and see how this one ends.
Even if you're hot or cold on baseball, medium cool, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, and the thing that's great about all sports is the insane unknown. Mm-hmm. Just the machinations, the different ways that things can happen.
The vagaries
that you never knew. You just go, well, all right, if he gets a single here, then they got a guy on first, but not the guy booting it in center field, and then the ball rolls to the track, and then the guy at the track boots the yep. ball, and then the guy who's running it out's got no wheels, and I was going insane. Now, I was yelling at my wife, the guy at third base, the coach, should have sent him.
Really?
Definitely should have sent him.
You think so?
Well, and here's what I said. Although she was tuned out, and it drives me nuts when I call shit and then people are tuned out. I said he should have sent him.
What is that? Sorry, what does that mean?
Sent him home.
Oh.
Waved him around. But don't hold up at third base. Yeah. Don't hold up at third base. Go
keep
in.
Keep going, try
go,
and score.
Go home. Go home. Go home.
Because, Allison, there were two outs.
Check. There we go. Sorry.
They were down to their last out. They could not. If they made another out, the whole World Series is over.
Mm. Now, Gary, you can stop it when I tell you to stop, but you'll see at a certain point, the runner is almost halfway between second and third when the guy still on the – still – oh, I didn't show it from this angle, but still on the track picking the ball up, mm-hmm. the guy's halfway. Now, the guy who's running doesn't exactly have wheels.
Right.
But here was what I likened it to – because I like to do this in front of my children. If ISIS or Al-Qaeda jumps you in the parking lot and says, get in the van, once you're in the van and the doors are closed, that'll be about it. Mm-hmm. You'll just be in some bunker somewhere where doing videos yes. with a guy, hearing a guy sharpening a sword, and you'll be thinking, I did have an opportunity. And that opportunity...
Don't let the kidnapper take you to a second location.
Right. When I was standing in that parking lot of Costco in Glendale, I really should have made a move right then. Now, there's a pretty good chance you would have gotten shot in the back as you ran.
You're talking about the runner now, going to third base?
Yes.
Okay.
But that was your opening.
Right.
I said to Lynette, I said, the guy who's pitching for San Francisco is pitching lights out ball. Mm-hmm. The next guy is going to get up, is going to pop out.
Right.
And that will end the game. The percentage of the next the guy who's pitching is setting records. He's
a dominant pitcher, Allison.
Not only dominant, but when they start going back, they're going back dates where guys are named Whitey. when you have to go back yep. and find out that shoeless Whitey Brown was of the
yes, he's yeah. been doing better than pitchers that were named after girls, Christy Mathewson and Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Those are the pictures you'd better
any time.
Madison, well, another girl's name, Madison Bumgarner.
Bumgarner. If there's ever a time when they have to go back to find a guy named Whitey to compare your stats in a World Series, that is great news for you. That mm-hmm. means this has not gone on in 89 years of World Series. So the guy's pitching lights out ball.
Right.
And in my opinion, there's little to no chance that the next guy is going to get up and get a base hit, which yes. is what he's going to need to get this guy. Not a long fly out,
right.
a base hit. And by the way, I've been watching for the last four innings, and this is the only hit I've ever seen.
Right.
So, unfortunately, this guy doesn't have wheels, but the shortstop or whoever went out and cut it off.
Shortstop.
He went and one hopped him. Mm-hmm. He cleanly fielded it. He was going to have to turn around, and he was going to have to fire a strike,
mm-hmm.
which probably
under the heat of the moment
would have been a one hopper. I'm guessing to home plate, and the catcher would have had to handle it cleanly and applied the tag cleanly, which he probably would have done. But he may not have.
Yes, if there's a 20% chance you score on that play by sending the runner home, it's better than your 2% chance the next hitter gets a hit.
And I think
4% chance.
I would have had it a little more of a 60-40 split because the shortstop would have had to turn mm-hmm. and fire a nice ball. And that's a tough throw to make in that situation.
Yes.
And oftentimes the catchers don't cleanly receive
any,
the ball.
Any if that play's not perfect, that guy scores. If the
right.
the throw's 2 feet either way.
Now, I said to Lynette, well, she said, then why didn't he go? And I said, there's a third base. I said, I stopped it, and I pointed at the third base coach. And I said, see that old guy standing there? He had to make a decision, and he had a window of about 1.3 seconds max to make the decision. Mm-hmm. So swing my arm around, meaning go home to the plate, or hands up, hold up, wait at third base. Now, first off, he was dealing with, and this is why sports are great, he was dealing with what would you normally do in this situation? Mm-hmm. Well, normally you would hold the guy
yeah.
at third, but that would be in game number four of the World Series right. in inning number five. This isn't the end of the end of the end.
This is do or die.
This is two outs, ninth inning, seventh game, guys pitching, Bumgarner's pitching lights out ball. And that poor 61-year-old guy could not process all that. But I said, more importantly, to Lynette, this guy, if he waves his arm and that guy gets thrown out at home.
He's the GOAT?
He's the GOAT. He will be blamed for the loss. And by the way, this game's going to end right now. Mm-hmm. If he waves his arm 2.5 seconds from now, this game could end at home plate, and everyone's going to be booing him.
As opposed to if he holds the runner, stay on third, next batter's up, the flame still flickers. You know, they're still, they still could reasonably...
Right. He made the safe but wrong choice.
We think so, yes. And then the guy, the next guy popped out, and I looked at Lynette, and I said, what I tell you is going to do? And then she looked up from her computer and said, what? And I said, I told you, they're going to hold the guy, and the next guy's going to come in and just pop out. And she's like, yeah, is that what you... If, okay, then he popped out, right? And it's like, this is never... It's so unsatisfying. It's so unsatisfying.
So wait, is the coach not the GOAT?
No, it wasn't because 100% the wrong decision. It was...
Do most people not think it was the wrong decision? There's a lot of negatives in that. What do most people think?
The problem, the reason he's not the GOAT is because he didn't stick his neck out.
He made a TV executive decision.
Yes, he did a TV executive decision, which is the proper decision to make is to hold the guy at third base. That's what the manual says. He wasn't factoring in the guy who was pitching, who was getting everyone out constantly and in a crazy zone. And that the next guy would come in. He wasn't doing the math. He just like, this is what the book says. It's sort of like they do it in football. Go for two. Mm-hmm. Don't go for two. Whatever it is. As long as you don't deviate from that, you will not be the GOAT.
Right. And Allison, you see it in sports a lot when a manager or a coach makes a decision. Immediately everyone's like, what are you doing? What was he thinking? Mm-hmm. That wasn't the situation. That was, oh, they're holding him. Okay.
It wasn't even they're holding him okay. It was that's what they should be doing.
The book says.
Yeah, that's what the book says.
I'm so glad you're interested in this play because obviously I'm a Giants fan and I was dying on that last play. Let's back up a second because if he had scored on what was essentially an inside the park home run to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth in Game 7 with two outs, that would have been the crazier than the Kirk Gibson home run, the craziest play in baseball history.
Right,
tie the game at home. Game 7, two outs, bottom of the ninth.
Slow Whitey inside the park home
That's
run.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, there's a few things. I always also look at, because I'm feelings-based, I always look at the person. Everyone laughs, but I always think about who's bad. I immediately go to the center fielder.
Yes.
Who completely booted that ball.
Gregor Blanco.
And then the left fielder who booted it, too. And
does booting mean chase and not catch it? That thing where they're running around trying to pick it up?
Gregor Blanco whiffed on the ball. He did to something you talk about a lot, which is you want to be either in the ocean or up on the beach, not getting pounded by the surf. Gregor Blanco charged the ball super hard.
In life, don't be in between.
Yeah.
He charged it to make the catch.
And then pulled up at the last second.
8 feet before the ball came in, realized I'm not getting to this. And he should have never done it. Because it's a situation where you have to keep the ball in front of you because there's two outs and your pitcher's pitching lights out ball. Yeah. You can't give up a double because the guy will score from second base on
single.
A hit.
Single means he should have done what the third base coach did, which is play it safe. If he had just given up a single, what are the chances the Royals get two more hits off Madison Bumgarner?
Right, not going to happen. But in his mind...
He's like, game over. I'm going to get that ball.
Imagine the game ends with you laying out, stretching out and sliding and robbing a guy of a sure hit. And by the way, that's what leads SportsCenter.
Oh, yeah.
And then
that's an iconic image.
That goes on a million years after you're dead. It's in the Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. When the game ends, they always have the guy who made the last out. So
the diving catch in center field.
In his brain, there must have been I'm going for
that's
this
what you
shit.
Dream of when you're little league.
And then at the end, the last five steps was oh shit, he charged too hard, it got past him.
And I don't care if you can find a slow-mo, his foot slips just enough
it
to
wasn't,
wear the glove.
He wasn't playing it safe.
Yeah.
Then, so if that game had been tied up, I would have felt horrible for that 26-year-old Dominican guy because he would have then gone to his grave going, I fucking booted that ball and cost us the game. Because what would have happened is, here's what would have happened. That guy would have scored. Yep. If he would have scored, the next guy would have got in and popped out, and they would have gone in extras, and he would have went, fuck, the next batter would have popped out. Yep. If I just kept it in front of me, would have stopped. And he would have been the GOAT and had to deal with that. And I always think if you – that sort of Bill Buckner thing, which is
– Bill Buckner's a famous GOAT in World Series history because he let a very easy ground ball go.
He was on Curb Your Enthusiasm, right?
Was he?
Yes. Yes, he was. So your worlds collide, people. I feel horrible for anyone who has to wear that hair shirt around for the rest of their life. And this guy, and baseball fans, because they have nothing to do, are more relentless than other fans.
A lot of downtime.
I'll get into the downtime and the baseball fans for a second, but for some reason, football fans have a shorter memory, and basketball fans have a shorter memory because I think the game is sped up. Baseball players, they literally sit around and talk about shit that happened in the 20s and stuff like that. Like old 89-year-old guys are still talking about shit that went down before World War I.
Murders
and,
Row.
Yeah, they literally, history is such a part of the game that you fucking up then becomes part of the history, which is part of the game. NFL is like, first off, half the players in the league couldn't name 10 players who played 8 years before they came into the league. I mean, it's no history. It's all athleticism, but it's no real history. Baseball's all history. So that would have just gone down and that would have been it. Yes, I was screaming, send him, mm-hmm. but that poor old guy had to make a decision in a split second and he wasn't going to end the game on his watch and he would have been a GOAT.
By the book, it was the right decision. Like I said, I'm a Giants fan, but part of me wanted him to get sent because that would have been a definitive end of the game or greatest play in World Series history.
But
it would have been a moment that we'd never want to forget.
But again, it was outside of the van, lunch at Al Qaeda guy.
I mean, what were
the
chances
gun.
That it would have worked?
I would say coin toss if you're on a positive side and on a negative side, maybe 25%.
You saw the runner rounding the bases looking at the wall. If he had been head down sprinting out of the box, I bet he would have scored. But he was kind of, the ball's going to get caught. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, should I stop?
He thought he was going to get a single. Then he thought he was going to get a double. Mm-hmm, then mm-hmm. he thought he was going to get a triple. But he was running as if. And if he just put his beard down and kept going. either way, I was saying send him because he's going to pop out. And it didn't give a shit. And near to Sonny, who was playing on it, was sitting.
But he has the ball to the moon. Why doesn't he?
Using his tablet. Baseball. Yeah, he hits the fucking tee to the moon. So that was exciting for Brian. He's a big Giants fan.
That was awesome. I mean, I think Royals fans and sports fans in general can agree it was a good series. It went 7 games. It came down to the bottom of the ninth.
Came down to the last pitch of the game, pretty much. And then I got obsessed with what I always get obsessed with, especially, and it's something I never noticed before, but now I got a 60-inch plasma, and everything's in high def, and it's nonstop spitting. It is an endless fucking cascade of spitting. Now, the pitcher for KC has a nervous tic when it comes. He does that.
Yeah, yeah.
You see him making a little trough with his lower lip, doing a weird kind of spit, like weird sprinkler thing, and then a big spit, and then back to a weird like.
Are they dipping?
Some of them are dipping. Some of them are eating seeds.
Pablo Sandoval is dipping enough for everyone else.
The guy who hit the triple had a huge thing of dip in his mouth, so that you could see his fucking brown lower teeth and the chaw sort of hanging out. By the way, I don't think that. There's no way that dip speeds you up around those bases. And then
wind resistance.
The last guy who batted does the move for KC, does the move where he shoots a seed out, then he shoots the husk out, then he shoots some spit out, then he shoots some husk out. And I said, and it's weird too, like I can get no traction with this. I just go, look, how about this rule with all the high def? And the spitting is not. Oh, once in a while you see somebody on the team spit but that's from the Goodyear blimp. They go to the dugout. I'm fucking with TiVo. I count it out. They go to the dugout for a 4-second shot. Some guys
have a spit cam.
The guy's literally just dumping spit. Yep. Everyone's just dumping spit everywhere. They go tight on the pitcher. Like when the pitcher's standing there looking for the sign up on the mound, his head is taking up the entire screen and he's doing this. This weird lower lip sort of sprinkle. I don't even know what it is. Then he takes his whole hand, he puts it in his mouth. Like he just goes, oh. And it was funny because the last.
What is that? What's the whole hand in the mouth?
Got a grip on the ball.
The last.
Tackiness on the fingertips.
the by the way, before this discussion, it was 20 minutes of me sitting in the kitchen watching Lynette load the dishwasher, but every single glass had been thoroughly with hot water cleaned out to the point where it was spotless and fine. And I was like, just put it on the rack. I like it clean. It's clean right now. There's nothing on it. It's completely clean. It's utterly clean. Just put it on the rack right now. I want it clean. I don't want any bacteria. There is no bacteria. It's not like I was steeping chicken parts or something in there. There's nothing in there. Just put it. I want it in here. I was like, okay, but it doesn't, it's not going. I have this conversation, and it's a weird one, but I have it a lot with a lot of people, which is, I'm not here to criticize. I only want to focus on things that make sense, and you
know, you're feelings based.
You loading and unloading that is just creating extra work for you.
But what I don't understand is the step of rinsing it out beforehand. It feels like a one or the other.
You're standing over the sink. The sink is running. You have hot water on it, and the glass is perfectly clear and perfectly clean. Now put it here. No, it's got to be. I want the hot water. Well, you know, I want it steamed or whatever. Okay, fine. Look, we were talking the other night. You know, the most germs in the world on the coffee pot. All the fucking people in the bathroom opening the door with their sleeve, lifting the toilet seat with their foot, making the whole thing. That's fine, except for all the germs are on the coffee pot. Mm. And by the way, people pour the coffee, then they walk out and they grab a bagel or a donut and they walk back to their desk and eat it with that exact same hand they had on the fucking coffee pot handle, and don't think twice about it because emotionally it's not moving their needle at all. Emotionally it's fine. Hey, it's coffee. I like coffee. Coffee's nice. Coffee's warm. Coffee's inviting. Oh, there's a donut. That's fine. How many times have you seen the person tear the croissant or the donut or the bagel in half and put the thing in there? Everyone walks up. They don't pick it up with their fucking sleeve or Kleenex or tongs or anything. They just pick it up. They'll butter it up and they'll eat it. Well, that was just in someone's hand. They had to grab your end because they had to tear it in half. They arguably had a better grip on your side. They threw it down and you're back in there with the sleeves and the opening the bathroom door with your foot and all that kind of stuff. It's great, except for it doesn't make any sense at all. And all I ever say to everyone is, let's just do what makes sense. Let's just do what makes sense. Just do what makes sense. And it's like, no, I want to do it this way. I feel much better about it this way. But there's no scientific anything that can back up that manner that you're doing that's creating a whole bunch of extra work for you. And it's like, understood. I like it this way. Which is, it's fucking weird to me how, and by the way, the entire country is this.
I mean, it makes sense what you're saying, but I'm just thinking the person who says to you, I get it, but I like doing it this way. I'm wondering if they actually don't believe what you're saying.
They act as if they don't believe what I'm saying. And there's this new gray area now with people where it's like you say to somebody, I talked to so-and-so. Did you pay him for that gig? I thought I did. You thought you did? Because he said you didn't. Well, maybe I didn't. Well, you didn't. Wait, a second ago you said you thought you did. Did you really think you did?
Why are you being a dick?
That's my relationship with other humans on the planet. But
you're acting like a dick.
What I'm saying is their actions would suggest they don't believe me. But that's not... That's almost too high an order of thought.
Right. They're not going to commit. They're just going to go with what makes them comfortable.
It's much more just superstitious native, like this is the way I do it. And I'm always like, does anyone want to listen to the guy who never gets sick who owns everything? Or should
we put it that way? I want to listen to that guy.
I am the guy who never gets sick who owns everything. Maybe there's some insights I have. Maybe there are a couple of techniques I know in life that may
for
help,
owning
help
and not
you,
getting sick.
For owning and not getting sick. But that doesn't, by the way, those days are long gone. Like whatever you have done.
What have you done for me lately, Adam?
Meaning the, back to baseball. My batting average is pretty good.
Is it Hunter Pence good or is it pretty good?
I don't bet on a lot of, my pants are lower. I don't bet on a lot of fucking, I don't bet on a lot of dogs. I don't make a lot of like decisions that I regret, you know, and then like when I say like this is good, it's usually good. But it's not that people, they do not, you know, they don't think you're a liar. It's just, this is the way I do it. It's basically, it's like, you know, it's everything in life. It's like we talk about, like, look, you're not religious. You're not superstitious. But if we're getting on a plane, we're not going to talk about plane disasters. It's just not. We're not going to do that. You know, it has nothing to do with this flight. But still, that's not going to be a topic that's going to be on the table, right?
Unwritten rule.
Yes. There's that. It's that kind of a thing. But either way, it's spitting, it's spitting, it's more spitting, it's spitting, it's spitting. So I say to Lynette, what the fuck? Like, now with high def and everyone with the 65-inch plasma, how about this rule? No dip when you're walking a home plate. Or if you take them out, look, lay out a full fucking Caesar-style buffet in the fucking dugout. Mm-hmm. But once you go out to perform what you are being paid millions of dollars to do, look, have you ever seen Kobe Bryant running up and down the fucking hardwood with a burrito in his hand and us going, well, hey, he's hungry. I mean, he's got to eat, doesn't he? Why can't he eat? Like, what's the big deal? Or just sitting on the bench with some nachos between his legs or something. We've carved out 3 hours where you do your job. Can you not eat during that period? We'll schedule the game. When you eat lunch, 1, 2, good. We'll make the game for 3, and then you'll be home for supper at 7. Like, but during this period, can we just not? I mean, look, a lot of you guys smoke weed. A lot of you guys like to have a cold one. A lot of you guys like to eat pussy. But during this 3-hour period, can we limit that? Can we not eat snatch during the fucking 3-hour period? Or is the answer, I like eating pussy?
I think for some, pussy helps them play ball.
Yeah. You're getting paid millions of dollars a year. Can you leave the fucking seeds in the dip in the dugout? So these guys all come up to home plate or take the mound. And they're spitting all
for
over
the listener,
everything.
Spit just flew out of your mouth.
Yes. And Lynette's like, she does what everyone does. It's baseball. They just, that's what they do. What are you going to do? Say no? And I was like, absolutely.
That's exactly what
absolutely.
I'm saying.
Absolutely. I want to take a Sharpie and I want to erase the San Diego Padres logo and I want to put a swastika on there. How about that? No. The answer's no. You don't get to do that.
Poor Padres.
It's a game. I picked them specifically because they have an angel guy up there with a bat.
A religious figure.
The point is the answer just be no. And I'm not saying you can't dip or eat seeds when the game's over, but during this window, just like in basketball, just like in football, you don't see fucking Peyton Manning eating a fucking grinder or a hoagie on it. No, it's not during this period of time. All right. And how about this? How about just this? As a start, eat all the seeds you like. Chew all the dip you like. But before you head to the on-deck circle, or before you take the mound, how about you rinse out with a little tap water and just for the very brief time you'll be at the plate, the 86 seconds you'll be at the plate, you won't have to engage. You cannot engage in this activity that's super gross and high def for just this one moment in time.
Yeah.
Yes? Would that sound fair?
Yeah.
And then, hey, pitcher, you'd like to get back to your seeds and your dip? Here's your incentive. Go out there, throw 3 pitches, have them all be grounders to the shortstop, and you can run back and get your precious seeds and dip.
Let's speed up the game.
Why? It's disgusting. And it's like, well, the Players Association would never go for not eating while you're batting?
Never go for not ingesting tobacco?
It's, by the way, the fucking... The dip is as dangerous or almost as dangerous as smoking. I mean, it's up there. It's not. It's probably statistically not as, but it's definitely not a happy alternative. DFG?
Hell yeah.
Hey, Def Rat Guy.
What's up, dude? Living the dream.
Yeah. DFG, it's been too long.
The dance that I'm going to do, I dance on our faces if we don't clean up those pumpkins.
That's right.
That's get it said.
That's the first thing DFG ever said to me.
Hell yeah, dude. What's up, bro?
What's up, bro?
Long.
Hey,
hell yeah.
Were you going to do some JV or all balls, like a Halloween-style version?
Hell yeah. But, dude, I never know that anybody has gotten lip cancer from dip.
Oh, well, you hang around a bunch of 20-something-year-olds, but when these guys get older, man, it gets ugly. They get it up their lips and jaws and everything.
I'm giving grizzly wintergreen pouches out for trick-or-treat candy.
Oh, no, you can't give dip out. Are you? Well, you're not.
If they don't like it, I'll take it.
Oh, you're talking about the pouch. They come in a pouch now.
Yeah, it's for kids.
No, the pouches.
So I got to live for all the whole Thanksgiving dinner, bro.
I would love, by the way, this is what I'm going to do. Oh, my God. Are you ready? Set up the GoPros.
Okay.
I'm going out to Santa Monica. I'm going to give out powdered candy cigarettes and the little grizzly dip pouches.
Okay.
Those would be the only two options when the kids come by. It's going to be so awesome to have that.
That sounds like a Jimmy Kimmel kind of prank.
That is a fucking awesome call them porch arguments. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, they're called candy cigarettes. Right. Candy cigarettes. There's candy corn. It's not real corn. If your kid was allergic to corn, they could still eat candy corn.
Yeah.
That's right. And the grizzly pouches, those are smokeless.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're coming out ahead.
The greatest, awesome porch argument ever. All right. So, DFG, where were we?
Oh, dude, I think you were, I was going to ask you some JB all bald Quentin.
All right. I think we have an intro, right?
And now, Mangria presents the Deaf Frat Guy and JV or All Balls.
He calls from the frat house onto the show, the deaf frat guy hearing impaired bro. He's hammered all day long with Poochie Moose and Mike F. They chug some fruits, chew potato gums, and then play a pico game. If something's pushy, he'll make the call.
All right, DFG.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about Moose always dressing up like a lady, like a hot chick? This year he's going to be a sexy Ebola nurse.
Uh-huh.
Timely. Yeah. It's timely.
So you worry. Now, Moose is the one who had wood during the halftime of the Super Bowl where Mick Jagger performed, right?
Or he had wood wrestling all the time with other dudes.
So you're
well,
a little
my best friend.
Yeah, no, I understand, but you're a little nervous about Moose. Like, you know, he might be gay. He goes as a woman.
He's bi.
Oh, you think he's bi?
He was.
Oh, he's not bi anymore.
He's cured? He's asexual.
He's having no sex now.
Not yet. That's I don't know, dude. He's a freak, dude. But tonight. He always dresses up like a chick on
yeah, I'll tell you, I've gone as a chick many years. I would say if there was a guy and you thought, I wonder if that guy's gay or not, he would never dress as a chick on Halloween because he wouldn't want it. He'd overcompensate.
Yes. He'd go super masculine.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say all balls. It's not JV.
I'm going, all balls.
I feel like it's JV. I'm sorry, Adam. I just think it's a little typical and cliche.
Mm-hmm. JV,
you're just a basic
all right,
bitch.
Oh, JV.
Damn it.
All right.
Why don't you just go ahead and get, you know, save some makeup and just put a cock in your ass now?
Wow, is that a makeup saver? Oh, I see. Right. Okay. All right. Listen, I hope Moose doesn't listen to this podcast.
I don't know what he's doing, dude. He's up in Frisco.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
The plot thickens.
He's celebrating.
He's working for the San Francisco Jacks, and Halloween is like their Christmas.
Oh, that Moose.
Oh, that. The Jacks, yeah. Well, we can get into that later. All right.
Anyway, what, oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, what do you think about when the kids use eggs to egg houses?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird because I enjoy eating eggs, but people always say, oh, it'll take the paint, screws up the paint on the car, and it screws up the... It's weird that something you eat so readily and serve your kids on a daily basis takes the paint off of cars.
Does it really do that?
Everyone claims that it really fucks things up. The thing about eggs is they're a little bit... I love the notion of hucking things. But the egg is a little aggressive. Hmm. First off, if it hits you, it's going to, if it hits you in like the eyeball or the orbital socket or something, it's going to fuck you up a little bit. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, you could bust a window with an egg probably pretty easily, and you can kind of, it makes enough. Now, if it then dries overnight and like I said, on the car, it kind of, it's hard to clean off and all that kind of shit. Plus, you know, just the hucking of food, especially a protein.
Yeah.
You know, Gallagher smashing melons is one thing. This is a protein source. I want something in between toilet paper and eggs.
Okay. Toilet paper's a pain in the butt, too.
Yes. It's not quite, you know, it's like toilet paper's too light. Eggs are a little too aggressive.
Water balloons?
Yeah, but then that's like, you could sleep through that. You know, that's okay, but you have to hit the person with it. I'm going to say JV. I don't like throwing eggs at people.
I've never saw the appeal. I say JV.
I think JV as well.
All balls. Oh. You don't throw them at people. You throw them at the house.
Mm-hmm. Like, who would you throw it at? Like Ashley's house or something like that?
No, like the dean. You find out where he lives.
Uh-huh.
Or the professor that gave you a bad grade or failed you because maybe you showed up late or didn't go to the class the whole semester.
Yeah, but then don't you think you should fail if you don't go the whole semester?
Dude, you want to make that dean or professor, you want to make their house look like, if it was white, it's going to be yellow the next day with egg.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
With egg.
All right, well,
it's the most perfect weapon that nature ever made.
Yeah.
Well, potato.
Potato's up there, too, right?
No, that you could throw yourself.
Okay. Yeah, you got to have a potato gun.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Propel that.
Yeah. All right. Give us two more.
Oh, all right. Hell yeah.
Mm.
Playing Ookie Candy Corn.
Oh. Ookie Cookie is bad enough, but Ookie Candy Corn.
That's a small target.
Well, Ookie Cookie is...
Alex, you know it's played?
I sure do, but if the listener would like to know, then perhaps someone should explain. But I am familiar with this game.
I have no idea.
Hey, DFG. Dawson, if you toss out to Gary, Gary can find. Hey, DFG.
Hell yeah!
Remember, you used to watch the Man Show back in the day, right?
Yeah, with the Fox.
Yeah, there was. I think there was a Man Show.
The Juggies.
Yeah, there's a Man Show frat house kit for kids, like play, you know, it's a sort of G.I. Joes, but frat boys. It was a whole, like, you know, Barbie's dream house, but it was like for 9-year-old boys. Mm-hmm. That bit, I think, may have involved Ookie.
Did it come with a cookie?
Well, I think we'll, I'll show you that bit if we can find it. I haven't seen it in a million years. But remember that bit, DFG?
I think they were frat guy superheroes.
Yeah, something like that. All right, so Ookie Cookie. So whoever finishes last has to eat the Ookie candy corn.
Hell yeah!
Now, in a way, there's a part
everyone,
of me.
Does everyone come on one candy corn?
I don't. I think that's going to be a tallish order.
As I said, it's a small target.
Yeah, no, I'm picturing more of
a dish.
A Jello cup filled with candy corn or
something. Bag full of them.
Yeah. So on one hand, it's one of those things where you go, oh my God, no. On the other hand, it's kind of like when someone says, I went over Niagara Falls in a barrel. You're like, I could never do that, but I kind of respect it. I kind of respect the crazy challenge. I mean, that's a...
And this is the kind of crazy challenge you respect?
That's a crazy challenge. Yeah. I say it's literally all balls.
I can't see a benefit to this. I say JV.
I appreciate the seasonal aspect. All balls.
Wow.
Yeah, it is all balls because it's exactly what Ace was saying. It's like the adrenaline rush you get from not eating. It's not every candy corn is covered in jizz.
Yeah, no, but for me, no, I was saying it's more like being able to really laser focus and not be the last one.
DFG saying there are some candy corns you can enjoy as candy corns.
Yeah, okay. I get you.
It's safer than the cookie. Cookie covered.
Yeah, I understood. Yeah. Understood. All right, give us one more, DFG.
All right, dude, can I just do a speed round, bro?
Okay.
Grimace from McDonald's.
All balls.
All balls.
JB.
Hell yeah. Oh. Pink eye.
Well, it's not pink eye. It's earning it or giving it. You know what I mean? It's like nobody likes crabs, but right. If you got it from a supermodel, I think we'd be okay with that. Okay. So I'm going to say, surprisingly, all balls.
JV.
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 Oh, all right.
Stinky pinky.
All balls?
JV.
Hell yeah.
JV.
Fall into World Series, the fall classic.
Oh, the fall classic. Mm-hmm. It even sounds boring. Sounds like a golf tournament. I'm going JV.
All balls.
JV.
JV, hell yeah. It's called the World Series.
Thank you.
What
all right.
About goblins, bro?
Goblins? Yeah, I think it's JV. I'm tired of goblins.
All balls.
Yeah, I'll go all balls.
Yeah, all balls.
Shit. I hate to...
on JV.
Hold on a second. One more. One more in your speed round.
Okay. Not letting others define you.
I think it's JV. I think telling people not to define you is like telling people not to judge you. It's impossible.
This has got to be all balls.
All balls.
It's all balls. Never let people define you, especially others.
Don't let other people define you, especially others?
Hell yeah.
Okay, that's a good positive note. That's like a good Rihanna-themed song, mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Thanks, DFG.
Hell yeah, bro. I just want, can I give a shout out to my Twitter and Pussy's Uncle Dude's getting over Ebola. Hell yeah, dude. Happy Halloween. He's still in segregation.
Yeah, quarantine, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, for a quarter, another quarter of a month or some shit.
Yeah, okay. So Pucci's uncle got Ebola?
He tested positive.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's
well, that's
bad.
Enough. That's
bad.
Enough. All right. DFG, you can go at Def Frat Guy on Twitter if you want to send DFG out some.
He was asymptomatic until he started fire hosing diarrhea from his ass.
Right, and that's some. Yeah.
Ebola was like a wolverine crawled up his ass and was fighting to get out of him.
He's an eloquent man, Poochie's uncle. We should get him on the show.
It's a wildly
soon.
Descriptive.
All right, thanks, DFG.
Hell yeah, bro.
All right.
That was JV, or All Balls, with the Deaf Frat Guy. Brought to you by Mangria.
Let's see. Arnez J, comedian, is here, waiting to come in. We'll bring him in a second. We have the man show, I don't know, Fraternity Action Heroes. Oh, okay. We'll run you that.
Fraternity Action Heroes!
Fraternity Action Heroes! Five tough guys, one tough fraternity. Smitty, Wojo, Big Dave, Hooter, and the Toad.
Fraternity Action Heroes!
I'm the evil Dean, and I'm gonna shut your house down if you don't pass tomorrow's exam.
Forget you, Dean. We're going cruising in my dad's Beamer to pick up some ecstasy for our party with the Kappas.
Collect all five so you and your friends can act out classic fraternity rituals.
Yeah.
Fraternity Action Heroes. Fraternity Action Heroes. Okie cookie sold separately.
Four of them are like traditional figures and the one fat guy.
In a toga.
The one yeah. Belushi.
Yeah. And was that Toad? Yeah, I remember having a nice conversation with all the ladies at Comedy Central were 51-year-old. Mm-hmm. Ladies, and I was like, they're like, Adam, what is an okie cookie? Well, it means different things to different people. But I do know this, okie is not on anybody's no-fly list. I mean, you know, FCC, you can say okie all day long, and of course, cookie. I mean, what's better than a cookie? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you I'd be talking to Debbie Liebling going, well, first, you know, you can say Ookie Cookie. I mean, that much we know. I don't know if we can show one of the lads eating an Ookie Cookie. Now, that might be, you know, crossing the line, but she'd be arguing no Ookie Cookie, and we'd be like, well, let us just show the cookie, yeah, but not Ookied. And then she'd be like, well, let me go down the hall and run it down one of the lawyer, talk to the lawyer about it. Like, all right, well, you know, get back to us pretty quick on this Ookie Cookie thing, because we're running this thing. And you have these things, well, if you run it for the audience, because we're taping two shows tonight, can we edit out the Ookie Cookie if it standards and practices? Well, it might be tough to carve the Ookie Cookie out of the, and it's like two adults on a 22-minute conference call about the Ookie Cookie.
The cookie, as Ookie as it may be.
There was my entire life was arguing about that kind of stuff with some. And by the way, nothing amounts to anything. Like, you have these super heated arguments that go on for sometimes days on and off, and then you blink your eyes and 12 years passes and no one gives a fuck. No one brings it up. Nobody
gets sued. I don't think anyone gave a fuck back then.
Nobody gave a fuck back then either. It was just somebody was getting paid a lot to pretend like they gave a fuck, and you were going to get into an argument with them. All right, we will bring Arnaz J out.
And that was back in 2014 when baseball was still being played and everybody could go outside and have a good old time. Plus, DFG, love him, and he actually did a quarantine-style JV in all balls last week, so if you haven't listened to that episode, find it. Adam Carolla Show.
A triumph in telecommunicating. Deaf guy on video conferencing.
Oh, yeah. It worked. He could read lips. He's very good.
He's very talented. Right.
Yeah, he totally is. All right, we have another clip for you. This is a Rotten Tomatoes game themed after one Ben Affleck.
This is the 28th game, episode 1423 of the Adam Carolla Show, J.L. Coven, Matt Atchie, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This is from October 2014. And it's made a question, like, why didn't we play the 18th and 19th games? The 17th was with Christopher Titus. The reason why we didn't play the 18th and 19th, the person who asked, whose post on my random Facebook post I couldn't find to reference, was because we'd already played those episodes. I believe 17 was with the Blasters, Phil Alvin, and the 18th game was with another musical act. Let's see, Hollywood Hillbillies. So that's why they didn't play in order. They've already played in Carolla Classics, if you want to go find them. That's game 18 and 19. Today, we are playing game number 28. Check it out.
All right, shall we do a little Rotten Tomatoes game? Yeah. To the theme. All right, Gary, thin it out. I don't need all new on there. I don't know when this began. Like, all new episodes of Catch a Contract. I've spent my entire professional career saying, just thin it out. Just thin it out. Just thin it out. Just give me the beat. Just thin it out. So he's catching all new, and make sure to watch the don't write the make sure. I know that's what they give you, Gary, right? They give you the make sure to watch? Yes. They give it to you. Right. Don't give it to me. Just give me the beats. Yes? Save your feet.
Yes.
Well, why not, right?
Those were the beats. It was that was pretty simple.
What did you write? You write, make sure and watch and all. I just want the beats.
All right, I'm giving you the beats. Let's play the game, and they'll be up there by the time we're done.
Give me the original. Show me the original way you had it now. And be sure to watch the hour-long. I'm not going to say, and be sure to watch. Just give me the new episode.
It's just a waste of my time.
Just the beats, Gary. Just the beat. You can pout all you want, but I've had this conversation with you 250 times. Just
I'm not
the
trying
beat.
To I'm not trying just to pout. Beat. I'm trying
you
to
don't
the-
know what you do, but that's what you do. You go, okay. But just the beats. That's all I ever want. That's all I ever asked for.
I'm trying to do it right now.
The losers are
I was wrong
doing
in the
on
first
the
249th
time.
Mistake.
All right. Jesus Christ.
We're all tied for last.
All right. Where were we? It's a weird thing because it's less. It's less. Let's
play some games.
Remember when we started doing this, I'd say to the advertisers, just five beats. You got five beats. You got five beats. I would get 10 beats every time. I'd go, five beats. You get five beats. And they'd go, okay, here's eight. And I'd go, five beats.
It's a negotiation.
That's all I ever do. It's less work. Just give me the beats. And by the way, and this isn't Gary, but when did the all new? This fucking new season.
Oh, I was going to watch that show, but
it's not all
new.
I was
partially
new.
Yeah. Same old guys.
Yes.
Yeah, all new was just every right? bit of it is new.
Right. Right. We're going to catch a contractor and this time beat
yes.
him up.
Yes. All right. So, Spike has a new app. And
is it all new or is it new?
It's semi-new. Parts of it are new. And catch a contractor is starting at, I don't know, well... Starting this Sunday.
Sunday, right?
This Sunday, mm-hmm. Yeah. 10 o'clock. Also...
Watch Adam bake in the sun?
You can you can watch me be irritated. Watch me... I think I actually squeegee gallons of sweat off this guy's head. I'm not kidding at all. Anyway, you can watch season 1-2 on the new app, and you can get it at the App Store at appstore.com/Spike. Thank you, Gary. Now... Let's play the game.
All right. This week, big movie in theaters, Gone Girl, directed by David Fincher and starring Ben Affleck. So this week's theme, Ben Affleck movies.
All right. I got something to write on
All
here.
New Ben Affleck movies?
All new?
All old Ben Affleck movies.
All right.
First up, the movie that got him an Academy Award, his first Academy Award, he was the screenwriter, Good Will Hunting.
Now, what's the rub on that? Was that thing like... completely rewritten by somebody else. I hear these stories, and I don't know what the stories are.
I don't know.
You haven't heard... Actually.
You've never heard those stories?
Even I've heard the stories.
Not about that. I mean, look, there's all kinds of stories I hear about all kinds of other films. That one, I don't... Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that somebody says that they don't get credit.
Is it weird to you that a guy, and then Argo, you know, is 15 years later or whatever, but... Matt Damon wins an Academy or shares an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay and then doesn't really write any more movies. And the ones he does write are, you know, fair to middling. So that's a little peculiar, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I guess on that one, you know, I chalk that up to the increasingly arcane rules about WGA credits. And like you can write... some portion of a script or have some half-baked idea that could get rewritten by 20 people.
Right.
And you're the one who still gets the credit for it.
Right.
So, and that's all kind of the legal rules for that. So, I mean, it does seem a little weird that we hadn't seen them write a lot more, but then again, those guys, really everybody wanted them to act in movies and they were both of them so busy. And I think that, you know, with Affleck dating J-Lo, like he's probably not sitting at the typewriter that much. So,
sitting at the brown typewriter.
The main thing that suffered.
Foolproof logic.
Yeah, but it's also... is.
I mean, Jenny from the Block doesn't want to see a bunch of typing.
You can write... you're taking a lot of six-hour flights, West Coast, East Coast, West Coast, East Coast. Yeah. It's a lot of time sitting on that plane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a guy who's pretty busy.
Riding first class, having cocktails. Book. Who's going to write anything good?
All right, you're right. That's
no,
me.
It's the Miramax. The Weinsteins are better than anything, they're marketers, and they marketed that movie perfectly. They had two young, good-looking stars who wrote the movie, quote-unquote. I mean, they read the original script and pushed them forward.
But I heard the original script was like about secret agents and Russian spies and stuff. Anyway, and by the way, speaking of J-Lo, she's 41 years old now. Could she give the ass a rest? Every video is her ass, like, buttered up, like rubbing it up against some other chick's ass. It's weird. If
you think it's time for her to hang it up?
Well, what I'm saying is you're...
Back it up.
Fine. Park Gary, it. See if you can find that J-Lo, whatever her latest ass-related hit is. But it is weird when you're, quote-unquote, an artist, right? Like, you're... What's the...
It's Booty, featuring Iggy Azalea.
You're 40, maybe that's the art. 40-year-old mother of two... You're an artist, you're an actress, you're an entrepreneur, you're whatever, but you're basically trading on your asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, write a song that doesn't feature your ass.
Listen, they don't call it the moneymaker for nothing.
She's got the ass, man. I got to disagree with you on this one. She's got the ass. I want to see it.
Put it out there. What's that have to do with the song,
if
though?
If Paul Bryan had an ass like that, he'd be showing it off left and right.
Goddamn right.
And we would appreciate it.
All right. I'm just saying, I don't think Ben Folds takes the same approach.
Well, he does. First of all, Ben Folds does not have an ass like that.
Well, we will never know, will we? It's just her shaking her. She's just shaking her ass back and forth.
Why is a bunch of fabric stuffed between your cheeks so sexy?
I'm tired
of people thinking wedgies are sexy because I don't want to wear one.
I agree. At a certain point,
that's why God gave us
her and Iggy start like rubbing asses together. But here's what I am saying. She's 40 years old.
It's very young.
There's there anybody who like taps her on the shoulder and goes, "Well, why don't you do a song about, you know..."
Brian's hypnotized over there.
Women's rights. Are we still on the air? All I'm saying is Helen Reddy would be very upset if she saw this video because she wrote a song.
No, it's
and
very empowering, Adam. She's owns that booty. Identifying herself.
She's owning that booty.
This is ass power.
She's rubbing gelatin on her ass.
Yeah, it's softcore porn, basically.
Yeah.
But what's it have to do with music? I don't want to sound like Grandpa Corolla. I like assholes.
Don't worry.
No! Porn is great. It's wholesome. It's the greatest expression of love. But then there's music. Right? I mean, we didn't grow up like you didn't listen to the Beatles and go, "Yeah, but what about his sphincter?" I mean, the music's good, but fucking Lennon's ass is like kind of saggy and Ringo's ass is like maybe a 5.5, but it's not that good. And he's certainly not rubbing it up against, like, Eric Clapton's ass or what's going on? Joni Mitchell has an okay ass, but she's really not showing it off. When did the music and the ass collide? You know what I mean? Like, I like pizza, but it's like, oh, I need more ass involved with my pizza.
I think in a modern day, we were finally free to express our ass in music. That's the thing. There was a lot of ass censoring happening.
Beethoven, was he a great ass man?
Sure. Listen, he was. Mozart loved his asses. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying you're 40 years old, sweetie. You got a couple of kids. Write a song. Leave your ass out of it.
Beethoven's for Elise. That's Elise's ass. He's writing about.
That's true.
They left that off for Elise's ass.
All right, J-Lo, is she 45? Jesus.
Damn.
All right, J-Lo's 45. Does she have two kids?
No one's under the illusion she's an artistic musician. Like,
well, maybe she is. Can she sing?
Kinda.
Who cares?
Well, I mean, ultimately, she has two kids. Am I listening to her music in the car, or am I beating off to it the shower?
Both,
you're
do it
beating
right.
off to it. She's a pop star.
With the song.
When I go to a dance club,
Oh, yeah, you're dancing to it.
I just, like, look, you know, ABBA had a bunch of pop hits and stuff, and it's good to look good when you're a pop singer, and Madonna, and...
Lady Gaga. It's the spectacle, except the only thing we're looking at is her ass, and that's the only thing she's offering.
I'm just saying, in many years, when you arrive at the ripe old age of 45, artistically, wouldn't you think it'd be weird to, like, you're going to write a song, but it has to feature your ass?
Yes.
I mean, really, the focal point of this will be your ass cheeks. We need to see your ass.
Well, when do you see J-Lo's ass?
The music and the singing will be... For sure.
When do you see it in 20 years? I mean, she'll be still doing that same bit,
she's
right?
65?
When she's 65.
Then it's empowering.
Plastic surgery is amazing.
Or all I'm saying is drop the music part and just let's put a GoPro up your asshole and we'll follow you around. Like, and we'll beat off. But stop the music. Or go do music somewhere. Yeah. What's the ass in the... I don't get the connection with the music and the ass. I've never sat down and went like, yeah, the music is good, but the ass movement's like a three, so I'm kind of moving on artistically. Or, you know, when the time Mike Lynch dragged me to see Fish, like, the music and jams were cool, but the ass movement was like, ugh.
That hippie noodle dance that nobody cares about.
By the way, can I say this with Fish? First off, I don't get it, but when somebody attempts to drag one of their non-Fish friends to a Fish concert, and you sit up there and you watch them do 46-minute jams about songs, not ass-related songs, songs you've never heard of, the only thing that could make that experience worse is if the person that dragged you to it, who's been to 150 Fish concerts, says to you, last time, this is all they do, last time they did the entire A side and B side of Armed Forces and Elvis Costello joined them. And you go, I wish I was there for that one. And then they go, last time they did Quadrophenia and Roger Daltrey joined them. And they're like, this time, all they're doing is getting super high and playing the same bass lick for 42 minutes. Yeah, last time, they fucking reanimated Jimi Hendrix and John Bonham, and he came out, and they played Dark Side of the Moon.
And the asses on those guys are unbelievable.
When they do that, please call. Because that I would like to see. Because this is them dropping peyote and playing the same song for 41 minutes. But I'm so happy to know that the last time you saw them, they did something, they engaged in some behavior I would have approved of.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
I'm just saying, Fish, friends, don't bring your fucking friends to explain how good the last time you saw them was. All right, sorry. What's the game?
Let's play the game. So what's your guess on Good Will Hunting?
Huh?
What's your guess on the score for Good Will Hunting?
I think that movie was a little bit overrated. A little bit.
Really?
I'd say the critics liked it a little better than I did.
I love that movie.
I didn't quite buy the, you know, I'm a super genius but angry at the world kind of thing. I know that mixture.
The Adam Cole story?
Yeah, but I can't do any of those fucking equations.
Kind of genius.
Yeah, it's an EQ thing. I'm going to say that the critics loved it, and I'm going to say they gave it a 91.
I went even higher. I said 97. Best picture nominee.
And I went a little lower, but still higher than Adam, and I said 94.
97.
Oh, that's a good start. Good start.
Plus, well,
I mean,
the five
shots.
We have the new rule,
plus,
right?
Shots. We gets the deduct the 5 bonus points for nailing it on the fucking head.
The first time that rule's been enacted.
Yeah. All right. Keep rolling.
All right. A year later, Ben Affleck gets cast opposite Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton in the Michael Bay epic, Armageddon.
Mm. Now, this is a movie. Oh, man. Favorite scene of that movie is when they got into the shuttle rover thing and they start pulling out all the wires and bringing the car terminology into outer space. We need a short shift gear thrower on the and hollowed out cams. And then Bruce Willis pulls out a big long arm. What is this? Cup holder? And he throws it, tearing it apart, throwing it around. Because you know when you're going to land something on a meteor, you want a bunch of meatheads tearing out wiring and stuff and throwing it on the throwing it on the ground. What is this, an ice cream scooper? And then he said something which I think was a fuck up. What did this cost the taxpayers? $375? Whatever it was, it was a very reasonable price for something that would have been bespoke and made of titanium and one off. I think he just fucked it up, but was on a roll with it. All right. I love this movie. The critics didn't. Mm-hmm. But a sight to behold. I'm going to say they did all right with it. They gave it a 41.
I wrote down 44, but then I crossed it out. I'm going with 54 because I don't think the world had turned on Michael Bay yet.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote 44.
39.
Damn it!
Mm. All right. Right, everybody's in the hunt. Here we go.
Crossed out 44.
All right. Now, that's too low because that movie was what it as advertised.
Yep. It was absolutely the movie it was supposed to be.
That's right. All right.
Okay. 2001, another Michael Bay film. This one casts Ben Affleck as somebody in the Army Air Corps. The movie is Pearl Harbor.
Mm. I like this movie. I think it got a ton of great reviews. I'm going to just speed this one along and say 63.
This movie sucks, but the last third is pretty good. No, the battle part is pretty good. 50%.
I have no idea. 80.
25.
Oh, wow. They were tough. What was your on score? This. 63. They were tough on this film.
Oh, am I still second?
I don't know anymore. Oh, 80. Not. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, there's no way.
All right, next up. This is the all-time grand champion stink bomb of Ben Affleck's career. This is the one that ruined the career of director Martin Brest, who had previously given us...
You're giving too many hints to Allison.
Yeah.
Right, because I really have a chance of winning right now.
Geely.
Geely.
All right.
Or Jiggly, depending
this is,
on whether or not you can pronounce it.
This is our generation's Ishtar.
It's
this is
worse
your
than
Ishtar?
That. Yeah, I guess so, for that era.
Ishtar started off as bad and then got...
Beat up.
Beat up, and then we came back on it a little bit. All right. I'm going to say 13%.
I said 5.
I said 3.
6.
Oh, wow. Paul Bryan.
One.
Tear.
Ace, we need your and Brian's guesses again, please.
From this movie?
13.
5. I mean 6.
But the audience had it at 13, so I'm simpatico with the dumb people.
All right. This one is from 2010. It's the second movie that Affleck directed, set in Boston. It's a heist movie. It is The Town.
Like The Town a lot. Really enjoyed this movie. Love the florist guy.
Pete Postlethwaite.
Love that guy.
It's a great movie.
Or
is it?
Or is it? I am going to... I got to go for broke here. And by going for broke, I'm going big. I'm going 91.
I said 91 as well.
Oh, shit.
And I said 92.
94.
All right. Well, I think Paul Bryan won this one, walking away. It looks like, let's see, Paul Bryan 39, Allison 68, and yours truly 56, right in the middle.
80 on Pearl Harbor. What were you thinking?
Come on, Allison. Except for that one, I think I was really in there.
No, you were doing great, but...
I know.
But then she was born. All right. Rotten or fresh.
And that was game number 28 of the Rotten Tomatoes game. How'd you do?
Rotten or fresh?
Oh, yeah, we're rotten or fresh. Which, it'll evolve soon enough, and we're all going to hear it eventually. All right, that'll do for Corolla Classics. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this Saturday. Hope you guys are enjoying your homes and your lives. We are truly, truly grateful that you are taking the time to even listen to this show. And hope that we're making it better somehow, some way. We'll be back tomorrow, so make sure to subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast. That's the only way you can get it. Get our special Sunday
show. Brand
shows.
New episode.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see you there. Until then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.
Thanks again for listening to Corolla Classics. It was brought to you by Geico, so if you own or rent your home... Of course it could be hard work. But, Gio, you know what's easy?
Geico. It's Geico easy.
It's Geico easy. That's right. So bundle those policies with Geico and make it easy to bundle it with your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com.
Get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico Easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.